We're going to talk about Jesus Christ. He has a lot of titles. I forget now just how many they are, but there's all different kind of names they give him. There was one outstanding name that was given by the angel, told Mary to call him Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And we find that he has a number of titles. We'll deal with the titles that God has given him and the offices that he has filled at different times. Right now, as I speak to you this morning, about 9:45, Jesus Christ is filling an office this morning. It's the same one he has filled for the last number of years. And we'll tell you what office that is when we come to it. And we will tell you what office he filled before he came to the world to be born of the Virgin Mary. And the reason we feel that it's very important to talk about Jesus and to know about him, the Bible says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. But if we're laboring and heavy laden, we need to learn of Jesus. And if we learn of Jesus, we can get rid of our problems. Why? Because he's a problem solver. He's the one that answers prayer. He's the one that has power to help you and deliver you and set you free. And so there's one thing about it. We should know all about Jesus Christ, who he is and what he is and his ability and all. And here's another thing. You'll say, well, now, how many other people are there going to be there in heaven that didn't believe in Jesus? They believed in some other doctrine and they got there some other way. They won't be there. Now remember this. This is not narrow. Anybody that don't believe like I'm telling you now, it's their narrow. Jesus Christ said, I am not a way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God gave us the ark back there in the flood as typical of the coming of Jesus. The ark had only one entrance, only one way to get in from the outside. Pending judgment that was going to come on the outside. There was only one entrance. And Christ is the ark. The ark is compiled of three stories, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But one entrance into it, and that was the door. Only one door. And that's Christ. Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. And if any man don't come in through me, the same as a thief and a robber. And no man can come to the Father but by me. Well, now, if they get there, then that makes Jesus a liar. But he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now, God tells us that he sent a plan of salvation. It's not that we have a number of plans and pick out the one you like. No. The others are false, error. There's false doctrines, false Christ, false isms, and all this, that, and the other. Deceitful workers. But there's only one escape from hell, only one entrance to heaven, only one access to Christ, to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Because no man can go into heaven without being born again when he comes to the age of accountability. He's got to be born again. Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then he said, again, same verse below it. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, I'm repeating it again, you must be born again. And except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And no man can be born again without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. The new birth comes only through Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. But you could believe in Buddha and you don't become a new creature. You could believe in Muhammad, Confucius, and all the other isms and doctrines and cults, and you're not a new creature. There's only one doctrine that makes its believers new creatures, and that is Christian. We become a new creature in Christ. We're born again. Now, that new birth comes only through Jesus Christ.
since God says to the whole wide world, believe on him or go to hell, he would have to furnish plenty of proof whereby man would not be stupid to believe in him, but he'd be intelligent and he could easily do it. So God has gone all out to furnish us every evidence in the world we need if we want to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's take his pre-existence. His pre-existence before he was born to the Virgin Mary. A lot of some folk that are very, shallow in the Bible, and however some of them, even teachers that are still that shallow. But they would think, and I want you to believe, they believe in Jesus, but they believe that his existence began at birth, like mine. Well, he doesn't have anything on me as far as his existence was like mine. I started off at birth, he started off at birth, but that's as far from the truth as east is from the west. There's not a verse in the Bible nowhere that would teach you that Christ started his existence at birth. Now, let's get all the scriptures to prove who Christ was. Jesus in Luke says, I saw Satan like lightning fall from heaven. I didn't, because I wasn't around. I just came on the scene in 1909. But that was way back there after Satan fell. That could be many teeming thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago when he fell. Because after Satan fell, the earth was put in a state of chaos and stayed that way for a long while. But when Satan fell, Jesus said, I saw him. And if he didn't see him, he lied. But he can't lie. God said, hear him, because he'll not lie, he'll tell you the truth. So if he told the truth, and he did tell the truth, he can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. So Christ said, I saw him. And if he saw him, he did see him. He was there when it happened. And that's the reason why when the devil saw Christ, they'd always say, we know who thou art. Why? Because they'd seen him. Now, that shows that he was there. Then Jesus and John was talking to the Jews, and he says, before Abraham was, I am. I was before Abraham. And then they took up stones, said, he's a nut. He's crazy. He's a fool. Why, he's not even 50 years of age. Here's a 30-year-old fellow. And here it is, Abraham, hundreds and even over 1,000 years back. And him getting up here and telling us that before Abraham was, he was. Well, he told the truth. He was very much around before Abraham. He was very much around before the world ever even started. But Jesus said, I was here before Abraham was. So then, Jesus Christ was here when Satan was cast down from heaven. Now, that was before this earth was shaped as it is now. The earth was here, but it was covered with water. And the earth had undergone a state of chaos. But when he was cast out, for God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down, Jesus said, I was there and saw it. He said, before Abraham was, I am. Now, in the 7th chapter of the book of Hebrews says that Christ is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek had no beginning of days nor end of life on his genealogy, meaning that they had no record. He was a priest of God without any origin of his beginning or his ending. We don't have information of him coming in and going out. So, after the order of Melchizedek, Jesus comes in without a beginning and without an end. A priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Meaning this, that he doesn't put Melchizedek on his level. Melchizedek was born of a woman, had a beginning just like anyone else, but they had no origin of it. They had no record of it. Meaning, the very fact that Melchizedek was a great priest, but they don't have no information about him coming in or going out. So he was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not necessarily of the tribe of Levi, because Levi hadn't come on the scene yet. So he was a priest, but not after the order of the Levites, and he had no beginning of days or end of life. So when Christ comes, he is not a priest after the order of the Leviticus priesthood. He is a priest absolutely independent of all others. So that's the reason why it refers to him as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, if he had no beginning of days or end of life, then that means there's no beginning of Christ nor end. He was here always with God. Now, then Jesus in John was praying to the Father, and he said, "Father, glorify me. Glorify thy Son with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Now, before the world ever existed, before the world ever was created and brought to pass, Jesus Christ was with the Father. I wasn't. You see, you wasn't. I just came on the scene just a short time ago. I hooked on, but I'm going to stay on now from here on. I'll be with him long as he is. But I'm just hooking on to end time. There'll be no end to eternity, but I mean the end of this dispensation. But Jesus Christ, it tells us here, that he said, "Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with thee before the world was." So that proves that he was here and around way before the world. Now it says in John, the first chapter, he was in the world and the world was made by him. He came to the world that he made. He was the maker of it. He was the father of it, because it was by him. Anything that is a father, it means that you are responsible for its existence. You can be ever so much a man and not a father. You can't, just because you're a real he-man, you say, "Well, I'm a man, the father too." Well, you are. How many children you got? I don't have any children, but I'm a father. Well, you're not. Well, I am. Well, you're not. Legally, you're not. You never will be until you have a child. You've got to produce something of your own and be responsible for it to become a father. So we find that Jesus Christ was in the world. He was the father of the world. But why? Because he was in the world and the world was made by him. You say, did anybody else help him? Doesn't say whether anybody else helped him or not. Said he made it. And then it says in Colossians, you can read it there very clearly. It's got three chapters. It says that all things were made by Jesus Christ. And without Jesus Christ was not anything made that is made, visible or invisible. If it's a demon spirit, that demon spirit was originally created and brought into existence by the Lord Jesus Christ. If you see a vine, it was made by the Lord Jesus Christ originally. If you see a tree, it's made by the Lord Jesus Christ originally. If you see any human being, you see any animal of any kind, you see any fowls of any kind, you see any fish of any kind, you see of any type, anything that exists, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. Then it went on so far as to say, whether it be principalities, whether it be great powers like angelic powers, like Lucifer, all of his high-ranking angels, and all of God's high-ranking angels, they were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. All things were made, whether it be principalities, whether it be powers, mights, or dominions, they were made by him. Now it says God made all things through Christ. Well, okay then, God gave him power, and God said, "Son, I want you to do it. Sit at my right hand till I make all thine enemies thy footstool." He said God didn't do it. God took his son, and it said he made the man of his right hand strong for himself. Who is the man of his right hand? Jesus Christ. Who's the one on the left side? It's God the Father, Jehovah. And he made the man on his right hand in Psalms 80. He made the man of his right hand. That's Jesus Christ, strong for himself. So we find that all things were made by Jesus Christ, whether it be dominion, principalities, powers, whether it be things visible or invisible, all things were made by him and for him. So he is the Father. He is the Father of all creation. He is the daddy of everything you look at or can see, and if it's there and you can't see it, he made it. He is the one that is the maker of it. But he made it possible. He was the only one that could lay aside his deity. How much deity did he have before he came down to be born of the Virgin Mary? It said he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he took upon himself the form of a servant. He thought it not robbery. It wouldn't be cheating to be equal with God. But he took and made of himself of no reputation. So how great was he before he become a virgin-born child made in the lineage of David through the wife, not the dad. The only dad he had is God the Father. But it says that he, in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, though you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich for our sakes, he become poor, didn't have a bed. He didn't even have but just a meager living as he went about. He didn't even have a home. He never bought a piece of property that we know of. And he didn't have a house that belonged to him. He told someone, they said, Lord, I'll go and stay with you in your house that don't have a house. So the birds of the field have a house, and the animals of the field, they have holes to dwell in. But Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. I don't have a house. I don't own a bed. I go here and yonder, and people take me in, and I stay with some of my disciples, but I don't have a house. How rich was he? He owned the universe. All things were subject to him. All angels bowed down to him. And he was the Son of Glory. He was God's prize. It says in Proverbs, he was daily God, Jehovah, God's delight, rejoicing always before him. And it said, they that hate me love death. They that hate me love death. That's in Proverbs 22nd chapter, talking about Jesus Christ. Now, one place over in Job's talking about, said, what's his name? If you can tell who did all this. And said, while you're talking about it, said, what's his name, the one that made everything, or the great God of the universe? What is the great God of the universe's name? What's his name? And what's his son's name? Because Job, under the inspired inspiration, he knew that God had a son. And he did have a son. And this son was forever with him. Now, it said he was in the world, and the world was made by him. And who made man? It says that God, in you read it in Genesis, it says that God and God the Father and God the Son was talking together. And God said to his Son, or Jesus said to his Father, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And they said, that's a good idea. We'll do that. We'll make man in our image after our likeness. Now, who made man? The Bible says all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Without Jesus Christ, I would not be here. Without Jesus Christ, my eyes wouldn't be placed just like they are. But my ears are just in the right place. Now, if I happen to come on the scene, and we'd have a lot of ears up here, and then they'd migrate, and then finally they'd come down here, and finally be back on your back, and then you'd have a nose over here on one side, and finally your legs would turn out, and one would want to walk this way and one that way. It'd be all out of kelter, no wisdom behind it, no origin. But God made this body to where it functions, and we've got 3 billion people on the world, and all of them's got a nose right there. We've got 3 billion people on the earth and got a chin right there. We've got 3 billion people on the earth, they got two eyes and they're right there. And we've got 3 billion people on the earth, they got two ears and they're right there. And then the rest of it's just the face, and there's not two of them alike. takes God to do that. Now, who made man? Jesus Christ made man. Who made me? Christ made me. Then who is the origin? Who is my father? He is the Father, first of all, through creation. But I was lost from God in creation by the fall. Then he came down. Who? The very Maker himself came down and gave his life blood that he might purchase me back again. And now I am God's by redemption. I am his son by redemption. First of all, I am God's son by creation. But through the fall, I become alienated from God. Then he came down to redeem his own. No wonder he was willing to do it. If you have 1,000 people standing out there, and there's a man out here, and someone's got to go get this man, but there's 99 chances out of 100 that you'll be killed going and getting him, but he's screaming, I need help. I'll perish unless someone comes. And there's 2,000 people here, but one of them is the dad. And all the rest of them look, and my, there's 99 chances out of 100 that you'll perish. But if you do go, you can save the man, but you might be lost yourself. But there's one that steps out and goes to get him. It's the one that made him. It's the one that is here because of him. It's the one that is responsible for his existence. It's called the dad. He steps out and gives his life to save his son. Now, when Christ looked down, he saw his own creation in a fallen state. And that was one of the things God so loved the world that he was willing to give. And Jesus Christ, had he been indifferent and saying, well, Father, I love you, but I don't care much about them. How many believe it was his love for us like it would be the love for a mother to save her daughter, or a love for a son, for a father to give his life for his own son? It was like Jesus coming down to rescue his own because we were his own. It said he came to his own and his own received him not. But it says, let us make man in our image. Now, if he began to exist and that was his origin at the Virgin Mary, how in the world would he be responsible for making us? Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. So, all things were made by him. That's in Colossians. Then Jesus in Revelation said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am Alpha and Omega. I am. That means that if I said I wasn't, I'd be a liar. But if I say I am, then I'm telling the truth. Now, what am I? I am Alpha and Omega. Now, what's Alpha? In the Greek, and that's what he was referring to, in the Greek, Alpha is A. And if you knew the Greek alphabet, you'd start off by saying Alpha, which is A, and you would wind up your Greek alphabet by saying Omega, which is Z. So when he said Alpha, he said, I am A. When he said Omega, he said Z. So he said, I am the beginning and I am the end. I am the last of everything. And when all creation is over, when the world and the plan of salvation and everything, I am still here at the end. And I am here at the very beginning. I am the beginning and end. The beginning of anything. I am there. So it didn't mean that way, way, billions and billions and billions of years down the line, he came on the scene, was born of a virgin, and here he is. That's as foreign as it can be. The world, the professors of the high schools today and the seminaries need to preach to their preachers that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. And that's the reason why he could speak to his own creation, the fig tree. He said, you're dead. Never will there be any fruit grow in you. You know what happened? It died. Just like it. Bang! Just died. And he's the one that formed lightning, formed clouds, and formed storms, and made it possible for them to exist. And he's out there and is having a lot of trouble. He wasn't worried about nothing. He was never slowed up by anything. Well, you talk about a powerful, super-duper bulldozer. Brother, devils couldn't stop him. That man, Legion of Devils, where it took an army to go out there, and the army would run like a bunch of jackrabbits, and when they'd chain him, and he'd pop those great big heavy chains, and they'd go whing like that, and he'd get out there and throw his arms around and start in after that army men, and they'd run like a jackrabbit. Jesus came out there without even a little club in his hand. come out there with a pair of shoes and a robe to put on him. And those 2,000 devils began to whimper and cry and said, "Have you come hither to torment us?" And Jesus, with one word, said, "Out!" And the devils, 2,000 of them, came out and went in the herd of swine. He gave the man his right mind, set him down, put shoes on him, put a robe on him, brought him back, said, "Go home to your families and tell them you've been set free." That's the kind of one he is. When the storm was about to sink the ship, it was going high and going low, and the water was coming in, and the lightning were flashing, vibrating thunder, he just stretched out his hand and said, "Peace." And when he did, there wasn't a calm. There was a great calm, not even a ripple, where the waters just a second before had been coming 10, 12, 15 feet high. It was a great calm, not even a ripple, and the forked tail lightning broke off right where it was, refused to go an inch further when it heard the Creator's voice, when he said, "Peace," and it stopped. And there wasn't even a whimper of a thunder. And the disciples said, "Who is in our boat? Who is this? That he opens his mouth and speaks to the storm and the wind and the waters and the lightning and the thunder, and they obey his voice." I'll tell you who he is. He's who he says he is. Beginning to end, I am he that was and is not. I am he that is, was dead and alive and alive forevermore. Now, I read to you, I gave you the scripture, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for our sakes he became poor. He was the King of glory. He was God's jewel, and he came down to be born in a manger. Now, and it says at that time, I make mention of this, his office that he occupied before he came to be our Savior, he was definitely a creator. He was definitely a creator. He operated at the right hand of God and was willing to go on any mission that God wanted him to go on. Many seem to think that as Abraham was entertained by the Lord, and it called him the Lord, that easily could have been Jesus Christ, because Christ is up there. When Hebrew children's put in a fire furnace, they only put three, but the king looked in and said, "I see four, and that fourth one is likened unto the Son of God." That could have been very easily been the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we find that many appearances Jesus Christ could have appeared. But he was in heaven with the Father, one of the members of the Godhead. He didn't become one of the members of the Godhead when he was born to the Virgin Mary, because he was a member of the Godhead before the world ever existed. Now, how many are there in the Godhead? If there was one member in the Godhead, and that was the Father, there would be no Jesus, there'd be no Holy Ghost. Then if there would be one member in the Godhead, and that would be God the Father, and he would have a part of him that he referred to as his Son and another as the Holy Ghost. And God would tell us that. He'd say there's one member of the Godhead and the one is three. That's what he'd say, because that would be what he'd mean. But he never did say that, because he never did mean that. He never did confer that. He always said that there's the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they're all three persons, individual persons. Now, what did he say? He said, there are three. There's in First John. "For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost." Now, he didn't say there's two in heaven, and it's the Father and the Son. He said there are three that bear record in heaven. Now the three, there are three. How many are there? There are three. But the three are what? The three are one. You say, well, then there's just one. No, he said there's three, but the three are one. You say, well, how can there be three and be one? Easy. He said there's a husband and wife, but they're married. And when they marry them, I bring them together in unity. I bring them together. And they're no longer twain. But there's two. I know there's two, but there's one.
They're no longer twain, but one.
Yeah, that means, I don't know.
Husband and wife is not two, they're one. Now he said, I call them 12 apostles and I sanctified them and made them one like we're one. Now I had 12 apostles, but they're 12, Lord. There's only one. I made the 12 one. Father, he said, make, sanctify my disciples and make them one. Not two, and not three, and not four, and not five. I want you to take the 12 disciples and make them one, like we're one. He tells us how we're one. He said, like 12 disciples are one. He said, there's how many in heaven? Three, and the three is what? The three is one. There's how many disciples? 12, and the 12 is what? The 12 is one. There's how many in the husband and wife? Two. And the two is what? The two is one. There's how many in heaven? Three. And the three is what? Three is one. If there's only two up there. Now, some folks say there's only Jesus. And Jesus is God the Father and God the Holy Ghost. Well, there's not one place in the Bible where it says that. Jesus is Jesus. And God the Father, Jehovah, is God Jehovah. You say, well now, you mean that there's three separate individuals. Absolutely. There's a personality of the Holy Ghost. There's some things that function and happen to the Holy Ghost that does not apply to anybody else. I can blaspheme God and blaspheme Christ, but I cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If they were all one, then a blaspheme one, blaspheme them all. But there's how many? Three. How many? Three. How many disciples? 12. How many are they? One. God said they're one. They're no longer 12, they're one. There's husband and wife, two, but they're no longer two, they're one. How? Like we are one. How many is in the Godhead? Three. There are three that bear record in heaven. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what I'm talking about this morning is the personality of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned, Jesus said, I am one. I am going to my Father. If he didn't have a father, if he was the only father was, he couldn't. He lied when he said that because he wasn't going to do it. Go to the Father, I'm going to pray the Father. And that he will give you another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, can you imagine Jesus getting up there and there's only one and never would be one and just him and then saying to himself, come on, Jesus, come on, send the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm praying to you, come on. It sounds silly. Him in the garden saying, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Three times he sweat great drops of blood, crying out, oh God, not my will, thy will be done. You see, he had a will and the Father had a will. You see. And so you ask Jesus, said Jesus, who is really the greater? Jehovah God the Father or you? Well, he said, you don't know? I said, yeah. Well, he said, I'll tell you. It's my Father. He said, my Father's greater than I. Jesus said that in John. How many have read that? Let me see your hand. Well, you read the Bible in John, it's plainly right there, tells you. He said, my Father is greater than I am. Meaning I'm not as great as my Father. Because I'm not the Father. I'm the Son. But I have always been the Son, and I am God. I am God the Son. There's three in the Godhead. Now, he said, my Father's greater than I. Well, now, just how great is Jesus? He's pretty great. He has all power in heaven and in earth, because he said so. He said, all power in heaven and in earth is mine. I have it. And it was given unto me. And I didn't have it before it was given unto me. But it was given unto me. Now, if there is only one, and there would never be nothing but one, how could he give himself something when there was no one else to give it? But it says that all power in heaven and earth has been given unto me of my Father, which is in heaven. I'm here on earth now, but he is in heaven right now. He's greater than I am, and he gave me all power in heaven and earth, and he gave it to me. That's what the Bible says. Now, does God the Father have a God that's his God? No. He has a Son that is a God. But there's no place in the Bible where anybody can ever take a scripture and come and show me where Jesus Christ is the God of God the Father. No place. But I can show you in almost every page of the New Testament.
I mean, in almost, well, in every book, a number of places, where it says the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not only his Father, but he's his God. Now, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead. And when he, a person, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but he shall take of the things of mine, and he will show them unto you. Now that showed you right there that the Holy Ghost is not Jesus. He will not speak of himself, but he will take of the things of mine and show it unto you. So the person of the Holy Ghost is the third person. Now I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his pre-existence. How many are getting something out of this lesson? Let me see your hand. Now that's the reason why we've got to believe on him. He is God's jewel of glory. He was the only one in heaven qualified to come down and die for us. And Jesus gave his life for us because he made us. Now, I want to get something that's very, very, very interesting. Let's go to Isaiah's prophecy about Jesus. And let's go to the 9th chapter of Isaiah. Those that have your Bibles can turn to the 9th chapter. It's speaking there of his different titles that he has. All right, here we are. Now the 9th chapter, it's referring here of his priesthood. Here you are, beginning at the 6th verse, those that have your Bible. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. So it's not going to be a girl, it's going to be a boy. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now, there's no one else on the face of the earth qualified to take these titles but Jesus Christ. We find in the 7th chapter, it speaks of the virgin birth, and also the 9th chapter. But this 9th chapter is dealing with our Lord. It's dealing with Jesus. It's dealing with his coming to the earth. It's dealing with his office that he will occupy while upon this earth. Let's read it closely now. The government, that means the spiritual rulership, shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Now that word Wonderful means it's full of wonder. And how many believe that surely Jesus Christ, from his very beginning to the end of while he was here on earth, his very life was absolutely filled with wonder. It was filled with wonder. We wondered at the birth. How can a woman that never touched a man give birth to a baby boy? It was a wonder. And then here comes angels down out of heaven. How can angels come down and talk about this baby boy? Full of wonder again. And Jesus at the age of 12, startling the doctors by his words of wisdom, wondering again at the age of 12. You see, and when he entered into his ministry, the world flooded around him. And he would speak as no man on earth ever spoke. It was full of wonder. So the Bible said his name shall be called Wonderful. That's God gave him his own son, the son of his right hand. He gave him a title, said, call him Wonderful. Don't you think that was very lovely of the Father to say that? What else? Counselor. He is a counselor. He proved the office work of a counselor while he was upon earth. Why? Never a man on the face of the earth spoke like this man speaks. Brother, you can be a counselor when you can speak as no man on earth ever spoke. So it's absolutely a proven fact that no man on earth could stand before the words of Jesus. Now, what else? The mighty God. The mighty God. I want you to notice this. If you had been back there before Christ was ever born, hundreds of years before Christ is ever here, and you'd read this in the Bible, a child's going to be born, and a son is going to be given. And when this child is going to be born of a woman, he's going to be, what? What do you mean? Mighty, not God, but mighty God. He's going to be a mighty God, the one that made all the principalities and powers and mights, whether they be visible or invisible, everything in the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him. You see, he is a mighty God, and yet he comes through a virgin. They said, that's the most stupid thing. Isaiah, put a cold cap on your head and go to bed, son. You have flipped your wig. What would you have thought? Ah, lady giving birth. Going to be counselor. Going to be wonderful. Going to be mighty God. And wait a minute here. The next one. He shall be the everlasting Father and the Prince of Peace. The everlasting Father and the Prince. What it says there, he's a father. He said he's a father. Not God the Father. Never did say he's God the Father. He said he's Father. Now, you can come here and you can say to my boy, you can say, boy, are you a son of Hibbard? Yeah. He's the Father, yeah. Well, now, don't you ever call yourself Father. I do. Not only do I call myself Father, but I call myself Grandfather. My boy has a child that's gone up and married and has a child. And he has children and he has grandchildren. He has grandchildren. Now, I could go to him and say, boy, are you a son? I sure am. Are you a father too? Well, yeah, Dad, I'm a father. How come you're a father and a son too? Well, Dad, I'm a father because I've got those that I'm responsible for. They are here because of me. And I am here because of you. And so Jesus Christ is a son, always been the son, but he's a father. How can he be the everlasting Father? Because anything that you are responsible for bringing into existence. Now, who's responsible for every living thing on the face of the earth? Jesus Christ. He's the Father of it. Who's the Father of the creation? Jesus Christ. Who's the Father of everything on the face of the earth, whether it be demons and devils and the clouds, the planets, all the great galaxies, all the stars, the moon, the sun, and all of its origin? Who is responsible for everything that functions and moves and breathes? Jesus Christ. Who's the Father of it? Christ is the Father of it all. So he's the Father of all creation. So he had to put upon him the title of a father. You could be a president. You could have a president of another big company over you, but you have been made president of another branch of service. While you are under the tutorship of your father, which is a president, yet you could be a president under him. God the Father is a father. He has a son that is a son, but he is a father. Why? Because he is the Father of all creation. Is he mighty God? Jesus Christ is God as much as God the Father is God. He thought it not robbery, cheating in any way to be equal with God. The only thing was, as far as power, as far as strength, and far as greatness and all, he was equal. But he always remained his Father, and he remained the Son. But there was equal. Now, he was the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. This boy that's going to be born of a virgin is going to come into the world and set up a new order, and there will never be an end to his reign and to his kingdom and to his setup, to reign over it. So Jesus Christ arrived after this prophecy in Isaiah. He arrived on the scene and proved himself to be that one that is born of a virgin and came into the world. Now, next week, we're going to finish it up all about Christ, because here's what we've got. After he came, he ceased to be the creator. What I mean, he can still create anything, but I mean he was the creator before. Now he becomes the savior. He becomes the redeemer of the earth. Then he died and went back to glory, sitting on the throne. He is the intercessor. He is a high priest. His office is a high priest. He shall come as king. And then in the new earth, heaven and earth, we'll take that up real quickly, and that will wind up these lessons, and then we'll give you what we're coming on next. Let's bow our head in a word of prayer. Now, 10 years ago, if they'd used God's name in vain on a radio program or a television program, what had happened? Oh, I don't care who they were. I don't care how big they were. And on the motion pictures, if they used God's name in vain or cussed, that was cut out, they had to do it all over again. Why? Because they're never to allow any curse words to go out on the radio. But brother, they fill her today, cuss up a storm and use vulgar, base, filthy stuff to feed the people with. Am I right? As it were in the days of Noah, they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. And how many believe the world is having them, they're being preached to what Jesus is doing, but the world doesn't know. It says they knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we have preached today. There's a lot of church members that sit in churches. They're not expecting the Lord to come. Now, the Philistines were after that anointing that gave him the power. What was it? It was that spirit, every time, the spirit of the Lord God came upon him. How many believe when the spirit of God, now, there's the walk of the flesh and the walk of the spirit. Romans, and I'm through now. Romans 8 says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ makes me free. Makes me free from the law of sin and death. For there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh. How many believe when you walk after the flesh, you're going to please the world? You're going to walk along with the world? You will be of the world? But when you come to the Lord, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh. If you are in Jesus Christ and you stay in Jesus Christ, you will walk after the Spirit. How many believe that? There's no way it can work any other way. For there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, I'll tell you, you can dip all the snuff you want to. You can drink all the liquor you want to. You can go to all the shows you want to. You can have all the immoral acts you want to. You can cuss all you want to. You can lie all you want to. I don't care what you do. When you're under the anointing and you're in the Spirit and you're walking not in the flesh but in the Spirit and you've got that river of living water, I tell you as a preacher, do what you want to do because your want to is right because you're not in the flesh. Who walk not after the flesh? And it is the walking of the flesh that's emptying the churches today. Am I right? He said it's the fountain, it's the well of a cry. He said we're going to name it this town. It's the well of a cry. The well came into existence by somebody crying unto the Lord. How did I get my well? I got it by crying. I said, oh God, send the water. And that's exactly what I'm saying tonight. How many believe that we sometime need to come and say, oh God, let that fountain start flowing freely. If it reaches a place, the world has a pull, or the flesh has a pull, or the devil has a pull. Let's come and cry out to the Lord. Remember, he said, let's put the fountain. He could have put that fountain in 1,000 places. Why? What's the wisdom of God in putting it in the bone that had killed 1,000 Philistines? It is the Spirit that's overcoming the world today. It is the anointing that's causing the world to be crucified to you. How many you want to go into heaven and you want him to say, he that overcometh shall inherit all things? You want to overcome the world, make it easy.
let the world be crucified to you. And how is that done? By the Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. I have preached quick tonight, not too long. As we stand together, if you know your heart, did you get it all? I tried to put it together as quick as I could. Did you get what I was talking about? Do you have the well flowing right now? I'm sure you do. I preached it to the crowd that has the well. You're faithful on the weeknight service. But the best of us, we may need to go to the Lord. And what? Have you ever had something hit you and say, oh, there goes something in the well? What is it? It's an old shoe from the world. Bang! Here comes something else, an old tin can. What you doing there trying to fill up your wells? Isaac dug them, Philistines filled them up. Isaac dug the well, Philistines filled them up. Their job was filling up the wells that flow. How many believe the world today is after filling up your well? Filling up your well. You know what it says? It said Isaac rolled up his sleeves and cleaned the well out. He did. And they filled it up again and he cleaned it out again. Finally it said he had peace. They saw that he's going to keep cleaning them out. How many believe that we need to roll up our sleeves and say, Lord, if there's something in that well needs to be cleaned out? I'm going to ask every one of us to, I'll just give you a Bible study tonight, but how many believe there's a lot of truth in what I said? Think of it and let it ponder more and more. I want every one of us that will to come through and let's go in the prayer room and kneel for a few minutes. And let's open our heart and say, Lord, I want you to show me my well. If there's anything the old world is trying to put in my well, let me take it out. Oh, begin to let the eyes of God look down upon us. Let nothing of the world stand between you and God. Oh, hallelujah.